Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Tuesday, August 29th. On today's podcast, we are going to talk about the latest that I have on Jonathan Taylor. We have the latest on Josh Jacobs. That's good. But also, to build off of that, we're going to talk about handcuffs and handcuffing strategy just in general. Put an article up a few weeks back over at FTNFantasy.com on that very topic. But I know it's a very popular topic, so we're going to dive into that for you on today's podcast. Before I get to that, of course, I didn't get a podcast in yesterday. Apologies there. Had some family stuff yesterday, good family stuff yesterday, with the last day of summer. Spent the afternoon with my daughter. Today was the first day of school, so no podcast, but I will be naming our winner of Fantasy Plus. That winner's name is at BrownDrew102. Congratulations to you, Drew. You obviously put a very lengthy review. It talked about he's been listening since the PFF days, came over to FTN because of me. I really appreciate that. Back in the day, man, PFF, but respect, Drew. So, if you've been listening along, the easiest thing you can do for me, well, first and foremost, you're going to hit me up on Twitter. I'll keep an eye out for you, and then we'll get you hooked up with Fantasy Plus. However, the easiest thing you can do for me, or the number one thing you can do for me right now, is create an account if you don't already have one. It takes 30 seconds. It's free to do at FTN, and then we'll hook you up. I'm going to do one more of these. I got approval to do one more, so there is still time to enter in. How do you enter? You review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, rate it, and in your review, leave your Twitter handle, or if you're only on the Instagram, I get it. I'm on Instagram too, so you could leave that as well. If you want to just buy FTN, you can do that. Buy FTN Fantasy Plus. Use the promo code RATPACK for 10% off. There was a big announcement today. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Aaron Schatz has joined our team, formerly of Football Outsiders. And guess what? That means that FTN is the home for DVOA. I know people, a lot of people love that stat. You will get it. And so much more. All of my stuff, all of Aaron's stuff, and so much more out there. So huge day here for FTN. Also, shout out really quickly here to our presenting sponsor, Circa. The Circa Millions contest is registering right now. Registration closes on September 9th, so we're coming down to the line here. If you did want to get in this thing, it is $1,000 to enter. You can enter up to five times. The contest is really cool, though. You pick five games against the spread every week. Really challenging, but if you win the appropriate name, you get $1 million in the Circa Millions. Top 100 get payouts. There's $300,000 in prizes that for each quarter of the season as well. And last place gets $100,000, $50,000 a second to last place. You can register in person at Circa or one of the sister properties if you're in Vegas. If not, you can use a proxy service out of state. Pretty cool contest. I've done a similar one for years, and I'm excited to do this one. Now, the one I do is only three games each week, so five's even more challenging. But it's fun. And it's a little bit different than, you know, playing fantasy all the time. So let's get into the latest here. Like, I'm going to start with Josh Jacobs because I am getting a lot of questions about him. I had a draft over the weekend. It is the famous farm draft. And I did take Josh Jacobs. Now, I had the number one overall pick in that draft. I took Justin Jefferson. And then when it came back to me, Jacobs, there was seven running backs off the board. It was the big seven, the original anchors. And Jacobs was still there. So I took him. So he is back in the anchor tier. Now, I do have him ranked at eight. I didn't get any crazy value on him, but I am okay with taking him. He got a little bit more on his deal than what the franchise tag was offering. Actually, almost $2 million more, which also, by the way, would up his franchise tag number if he's tagged next year. Because technically speaking, he's already been tagged once. Even though he didn't sign the tag, that's how it works. So he would get 120% of that, which puts him a lot higher than the $12 million. I think it's it's like, yeah, 14 plus million, a lot higher than the 12 million he would have got if he was tagged again. So he's just got to play well and ideally get tagged. But regardless, now that that is settled, I don't have any worries about him. The worry about him was simply that this dude didn't sign his tag and was possibly going to hold out. Now that he is back, he's good to go. So I gladly took him as an anchor RB in this draft. Gladly took him. And I did anchor. I didn't come back. It was a super flex draft, so I didn't go back to running back until, I believe, the eighth round when I took Alexander Mattison, because that dude is still hanging there. Sometimes you got to love those home league drafts. But anyway, maybe at some point this week I'll talk about that draft on the show, on the podcast here. But I did want to get to handcuffing strategy on the show today. So water under the bridge with Josh Jacobs. What about Jonathan Taylor? Well, as I sit here, it's about 2:45 on Tuesday. The roster cut down deadline in the NFL, which we'll talk about some of the fallout from that on tomorrow's show. The roster cut down deadline is approaching in an hour and 15 minutes. You got to be down to 53 at that point. Now, the Colts imposed a self deadline, I guess is the best way to put it. They put a deadline in place with essentially the same exact time. So Tuesday, today at 4 o'clock, for a trade to get done. Now, does that mean a trade will get done? I have no clue. Of course, I'll probably publish this podcast and something will happen because that's how it works. But if there is no trade today, and by the way, we've heard from Stephen Holder over at ESPN that it's supposed to go down to the wire. If there is no trade today, I don't think he just magically is like, okay, I guess I'm playing for you guys. I still think he's going to be playing hardball here. So if you have a draft upcoming this weekend, it would still be too risky to draft Jonathan Taylor, because there's a couple possibilities here. Like, if he is truly holding in and there's no real injury here and he's on PUP because he's holding in, he could be put on PUP for the start of the season, reserve PUP. If he does that, then you're drafting a guy who isn't going to play for over a month. That's a problem. Who knows if he even comes back after that? Could he actually somehow not play the entire season? I know there's a lot of moving pieces here, especially in terms of the finances, because, hey, if this is about money, he does have a $4.3 million salary this season coming to him, and I'm sure he probably doesn't want to sacrifice that $4.3 million. I don't think it's like, you know, a matter. He's not going to make it a matter of principle or something along those lines. So there's a lot of moving pieces. There's a reality that the Colts could still trade him at another point. Like, what's this deadline really? It's not the trade deadline. We still have plenty of time before the NFL trade deadline. So I don't know what's going on with all that. But we did hear from Jacina Anderson over at CBS that we know there are two teams who are very interested. One of them we know is the Miami Dolphins. I have no idea who the mystery other team is. I have no clue. I mean, I could see Philly being interested, but I don't know if it's them. I could see, you know, people have talked about Chicago. Some people have talked about Denver. Like, there are a few teams in the mix there, but I have no idea who the other team is. Either way, the teams that are most interested are willing to give him a market contract, according to Jacina Anderson. That's a challenging statement as well, because there's really two markets right now. There's the running backs who have been extended market. Christian McCaffrey, $16 million a year, is the top of that market, 30 fully guaranteed. And then there's the running backs who make it to free agency market. And the top of that market is essentially Dalvin Cook, tied with James Conner at $7 million average annual. Conner got 13.5 fully guaranteed. Let's see, Eckler got 13.7 fully guaranteed, but his average annual is down at 6.1. Is that the market or is it the other mark? I have no idea, and I don't even know if that would work for Jonathan Taylor. Who knows? But hopefully I'll have more for you on tomorrow's podcast. Let's get into the handcuffing stuff, though. So handcuffing can be a valuable strategy, but I often find that there's a couple pitfalls that fantasy players will run into in their drafts. They will handcuff just for the sake of handcuffing, right? That's the number one. just to say, I handcuffed, as they, you know, feel better about themselves after their draft. But then they don't commit to the cuff. And that's really important. You have to commit to the cuff. If you can't commit to the cuff, you got to put a ring on this thing. You got to be, you, no fear of commitment whatsoever. You cannot commit to the cuff. If you cannot roster that handcuff for the entire season, as long as you have that anchor back or whoever the back you handcuffed, as long as you have them, you should keep the cuff. Otherwise, no sense in handcuffing. If you're going to consider dropping the handcuff in week three, like people do every stinking year in fantasy football, don't even bother handcuffing. It's a waste of a pick. You could go after a high-ceiling wide receiver or something like that in that range. You got to commit to the cuff. That's the number one pitfall there. Now, when it comes to handcuffing, it's a good strategy when we're talking about our premium running backs, right? Our running back who you spent a first or a second round pick on, maybe a third, you know, occasionally an anchor will fall to the third. Obviously, Superflex is a little bit of a different discussion. It could be the third in a Superflex. But in a regular one quarterback league, you're taking these guys in the first or second round. Just from a sheer value standpoint, those are by far your most valuable picks. So therefore, you're protecting your most valuable and volatile asset, because running backs can, yeah, obviously do get hurt from time to time, as we've seen each year. So that's the idea behind it. However, there's only a few guys who fit the bill. You don't have handcuffing for a lot of, you know, like guys like, Alexander Mattison. We're not handcuffing him. I'm not handcuffing Joe Mixon. I'm not handcuffing Cam Akers. I'm not handcuffing Ken Walker or anything like that. Like those are guys deeper down the list. And I will sometimes see that where a fantasy manager will draft a running back in, let's say, the first and then in the third or fourth round, and they'll handcuff both of them. So now their bench is essentially taken up by two guys with the only thing they have is implied value. You don't want that. You only want to cuff the top dude. And so right now, these anchor running backs that are cuffable, I have eight of them. Christian McCaffrey, of course, Elijah Mitchell. Austin Eckler, Joshua Kelly. Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier. Nick Chubb, Jerome Ford. It is not Pierre Strong. Pierre Strong is a pass-catching back. Gives him a little bit of depth in that backfield, but not the handcuff. Saquon Barkley, Matt Breida, Derrick Henry, Tajay Spears. I've been saying this for a while. So Hassan Haskins was placed on injured reserve, but there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. The main thing, the number one thing here with Hassan Haskins, I'm not going to get into the details. He had an ugly off-the-field incident, a domestic incident, and that took place right before training camp. I thought they were going to cut him. They didn't, but he may never play again. Who knows? I don't think that would be that shocking. He's likely facing a very lengthy suspension once all the legal process wraps up. And plus the fact that Tajay Spears is pretty good. So Spears, Tony Pollard is Rico Dowdle. And then, of course, Josh Jacobs, who is an anchor running back now, is Zamir White. Is it 100% necessary to handcuff these guys? No, it isn't. You don't have to. You don't have to handcuff them. Now, I think it's a good move, but it's not one of those things where 100% of the time, and I think, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people speak in absolutes when it comes to fantasy football strategy and advice, and I really don't think there are many absolutes out there, and this is one of them. You don't have to handcuff every single time. It's a good idea, but you don't have to. Let's say, for example, you get, you get Derrick Henry or you get Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley is a really good example because Matt Breida will go undrafted if you don't draft him. So you get Saquon. But then you have a pretty good stable if you, say, you attack in the punt RB2 range, like round 7, 8, 9, 10, you get a good stable there. And you feel like you have decent enough depth to sustain an injury to Barkley, you don't have to handcuff. You really don't have to do it. So something to think about as you roll through your final drafts here. But another thing, if you didn't handcuff in a draft, you don't have to run out and drop a player who you drafted to pick up a handcuff. You don't have to do that. And in fact, I would really warn against it. You don't want to give your league, like I had somebody who hit me up asking about dropping players for a handcuff, and the two players he mentioned were Jonathan Mingo and Jaylen Warren. I was like, no, dude, don't do that. You're going to be giving your league Jaylen Warren? No. Giving them Jonathan Mingo? No. You drafted those dudes for a reason. Stick with it for now. You know, a little bit of patience after the fantasy drafts, your fantasy drafts wrap up before the season starts, goes a long way. I mentioned Warren. He's not a priority cuff for Najee Harris. Joe Mixon doesn't have a priority cuff with Chris Evans. Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook are splitting, so you got a committee there just like you have in Green Bay. Tank Bigsby, you know, you're not handcuffing Travis Etienne. I don't mind getting Bigsby or Zach Charbonnet. Like, I don't mind getting those guys at all, but they're not, I'm not cuffing if I somehow wound up with Etienne or Ken Walker. But I actually prefer the other side of those committees a lot of times because you get them at a better value. So anyway, if you get an anchor, cuff them up, but you don't have to 100% of the time, but usually a good idea. Otherwise, not cuffing, not wasting those bench spots on the, you know, RB2s of the world, they're handcuffs. Okay, so tomorrow, like I said, we'll talk a little bit about roster cutdown. Hopefully, we'll have something for the Jonathan Taylor news front. If not, well, the show will still go on. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. And don't forget, you help me out if you review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. If you want to, also leave your Twitter handle in the review and you're entered in to win. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, and I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.